Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs, and it's October 7th, 2021. Pleasure to have you here with us today on Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ACE-ed.org, ACE-ed.org. That's our home website where all of our podcasts, including this one, are archived, and we have our magazine over there, a brand new issue of Equity and Access Pre-K-12, the online journal. It's a beautiful issue. I hope you go over and check it all out. You'll see there a link to SEL Today, Social Emotional Learning, SEL Today, all right, which is our new website. And that's just starting to grow, and you'll find that interesting because of all the news and information that we have over there about social emotional learning, because it runs hand in hand with equity, what we concentrate on over at ace-ed.org, our consortium website. So please check it all out and enjoy the magazine. We have a show this morning with a gentleman named Nissan Bar-Lev out of, well, he's actually originally out of Israel, but for some reason he's in snow-covered Midwest in Milwaukee. Okay, he went from sand to snow. Okay, all right, we talked about this yesterday. And Nissan, hi Nissan, let me give you a good introduction here. Nissan is the director of special education at an ESA, CESA, okay, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He's charged of special ed, and we're going to talk about the Wisconsin State. I got to get this right. Hold on, Nissan, I've got it here. The Wisconsin Special Education Mediation System that he's very involved in. This is really cool. It is a unique special education mediation system, the only one in the U.S. that's administered not by the State Department of Education or Public Instruction, but rather by representatives of both parents and schools. So this is really, really cool. We got Nissan here. Good morning, my friend. How are you today? Shalom, as we like to say in Wisconsin.
Good morning, Larry. I am honored, delighted to be as your guest on this, on your all-important educational equity podcast. Thank you, Larry.
Well, believe me, my pleasure, my friend. And this is really cool stuff. Tell us what you do over there. Tell us all about your ESA, all right, and sure. How you interface with schools, and then we'll get into the details of WSEMS, the Education Mediation System.
Of course. Thank you, Larry. So Wisconsin is divided into 12 regions. Each contains about 30, 40 school districts. And I'm the special ed director for CESA 7, which is located in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is also the home of the Green Bay Packers and, of course, the Wisconsin Cheeseheads.
Yeah, I've been to Green Bay many, many times, and I used to live in Chicago. And I think it goes without saying that we know it is the home of the Green Bay Packers, without question. We know that.
Right.
We have ladies and gentlemen, we have an official cheesehead with us today. That's terrific.
That's absolutely correct, Larry.
You got it. So tell me more. Tell me about yours and how you interface with the school districts. How many kids do you work with? Well, just talk about that side of it before we get into the nitty-gritty.
Of course. So CESA 7 is an agency that serves 38 school districts in Northeast Wisconsin. As a special ed director, I am responsible to provide special education staff to these districts who are in need of special ed staff support. And that includes all the way from school psychologists, speech pathologists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, teachers who specialize in autism knowledge, supporting teachers who are have the knowledge of visual impairment, hearing impairment, audiology, etc.
Right. It's a tough job, and especially these days. And I just before we get into it, how is staffing going? I know it's very difficult, okay, A, to find teachers these days, and B, God bless them, special ed teachers, even more difficult. How are we doing staffing-wise?
Exactly. There is a tremendous shortage of school psychologists and speech pathologists and all of the staff that works with low incident populations, such as teacher for the hearing impaired, teacher for the visually impaired orientation and mobility specialist. And it's hard. We're encouraging our university to provide additional staff so they could increase the size of the classrooms. But it's a challenge, as you know. And it's Wisconsin is not unique. It is a national issue.
Yep. Yeah, that is for sure. And I was hoping you were going to tell me that it's bad everywhere, but here in Wisconsin we're doing great. But it is, and you are doing great, but it is tough to find people, and I have a feeling that search is going to get harder and harder. So I wish you well, which is why it's so important. Let me segue, okay, that parents get involved in all this, and that's what you folks over there seem to have done. Talk to me about that. And you listened to this as we were preparing this show as the first question, which is about the equity issue and what you call the WCASS publication on how to provide students with IEPs full access to their grade-level curriculum through text-to-speech. Tell me what that's all about.
Of course. Thank you, Larry. So in special education, equity means access, to provide access. And Larry, when you walk into any sixth-grade middle school special ed classroom, in Wisconsin, all around the country, it is likely that you'll find students with disabilities that are reading at a second to third grade level. So these students are unable to access the sixth grade books, instructional material, assignment sheets, or the curriculum. And Congress mandated through the Individual Disability Education Act of 2004 that students with disability should have access to, are involved in, and make progress in the regular ed curriculum. Unfortunately, reading at the second to third grade level in sixth grade doesn't give access to this curriculum. So Congress realized that in order for student disability to achieve what it wanted to accomplish, to provide them with the access, they need special tools. So Congress spend a lot of money through IDEA 2004 in developing a national center called NIMEC. That's where four accessible tools were developed: Braille, audiophile, text-to-speech, and large font. However, as we found as we did our study through the CAS guide, very few school districts around the country are utilizing these accessible tools to provide access to students with severe learning disability, or the SLD, specific learning disability, EBD, emotional behavior disability, OHI, speech and language, autism. And Larry, this group that I just mentioned, the group of SLD, the specific learning disability, EBD, OHI, speech and language, and autism, comprises the vast majority of 7 million students with disability in the country.
Yeah.
In other words, the vast majority of 7 million students with disability are not provided with the access to the grade level curriculum to access educational resources and rigor they need. And
but
this is the educational
If the federal government is offering these services, and the way I understand what you just said, I hope I didn't misunderstand, okay, even though the feds have provided these services, the states or the schools, whatever, aren't using them? Did I hear that correctly?
Exactly. These tools, text-to-speech, Braille, audiophile, large font, have been available since 2004. And Braille has been used because it is so obvious for everyone that a blind student needs Braille to access the curriculum. But somehow we are failing as school district, as teachers, as administrators to recognize that students that develop a gap, that are unable to read because of information processing, no matter how heroic effort teacher provide them with, these students are not provided with the text-to-speech that the federal government through IDEA 2004 provided in NIMEC for them to use. And that's one of the reasons that my state organization, CAS, asked me to co-chair a group of stakeholders to develop this particular CAS guide to highlight and explain and showcase that tools are available and students need the access. Why not use it?
Well, that's my point. So whose responsibility is this? Is it the school district? Is it the individual teacher? Or is it the parent? It seemed to me to be the school district, but whose responsibility is it?
You're absolutely correct, Larry. It is the local school district. It is the local IEP, the individual educational program team, that makes educational recommendation, educational plan, educational goals for students. And the IP team, in the past 20-some years throughout the country, have not provided tools. Now, I would say that in 2004, when the law was enacted, technology is not the same as it is in 2021.
Right. Agreed.
The quality of digital speech, the quality of technology, of text, of assistive technology has mushroomed. And on a monthly basis, we see additional text-to-speech application appear on the horizon. So one of the reasons that we decided to write this CAS guide also to highlight the advancement in technology and tell teachers and school district folks, this is the time that we take advantage of the digital technology to provide access to students with disability to the curriculum.
Okay, so let's just use your group, CESA 7, up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. All right, you have 25 school districts or whatever the case may be. Okay, and they have you, okay, as their director of special education from the ESA. Have they now all gotten on board with this? Let's pinpoint it down to your group, okay?
Sure.
Because I can't understand. The only thing I can think about is 2004 was 16 years ago, and things get forgotten over the course of time. They get mushed up in bureaucracy, okay? You forget about them. Okay, but you know about this. You're the leader in this, and let's just pinpoint your group to see how they're doing. Okay, because if your group takes off, we have that great example to everybody else.
Yes, and Larry, I would say that CESA 7 is in the same boat as the other CESAs in Wisconsin. We are all pretty much looking at this as a state. In fact, I had several meetings, virtual meetings, with our Department of Education leaders in terms of what are the next step. Now that we have published the CAS guide, what is the next step?
When did you publish it? When did you publish it?
Sure. It was updated in September. It was initially published in April, and I believe, Larry, you have the website for the CAS guide.
I do.
And
let me give everybody this. It's WS. EMS, like Wisconsin State Education Mediation System, WSEMS.us, and that will get you there.
Yeah.
WSEMS.us, everybody. Okay, go ahead.
Right.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to get that out there. Go ahead. Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine, Larry. So there are two websites, and the WSEMS.us that you mentioned is the site of the Wisconsin Special Ed Mediation System, which is another one of my passions in Wisconsin, and I would be very glad to talk a little bit more about it.
Oh, okay.
As you mentioned
earlier,
it is the only system in the country that is not administered by the Department of Education of that state, but rather by the educators and parent advocacy group, who are typically the parties that will end up in mediation.
Exactly. Well, let me go back. I don't want to mix things up. That was my fault. I think I have it here. I read the wrong website. I'm sorry, on my sheet of paper. I think it's WCASS. WCASS. Right. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's the CAS.
I apologize for that, everybody. Yeah, go ahead.
It's the CAS guide that we talked earlier. As I mentioned, my state organization asked me to co-chair this group, and that will look at how to take advantage of the technology that has changed over the years in order to provide access to students with disability.
Yeah.
So if you and I will send you another link to this CAST guide that has specifically this guide.
Good.
And
thank you.
In that guide, you will see not only about 30 tools that are available for staff to use, but also links and videos how to use them. We also have a section for parents' information that will make them a strong, they'll increase their knowledge of the technology affiliated with text-to-speech. And we do all of that, Larry, in plain language because we wanted to make sure the community at large has access to it. And by the way, the CAST guide was endorsed by the Council for Exceptional Children and by two most important divisions, the Innovation in Special Ed Technology. And as you know, one of your favorite divisions, CASE, the Council of Administrators
of
Special Education.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll send this to Phyllis over there when we're done. And you're going to send me that link and I'll put it up on site for the guide. So your hope for the future, okay, is that the school districts will, if I may jump on this, and actually get this done. And that is, and this is something that fits into two things, if I may. It fits into the equity issue, okay, especially if you're not using things that are already there that equalize the playing field for kids who need it with kids with special needs. But it also, if I may, and I just wanted to touch on this for a second. We're into this SEL thing, social emotional learning. And if kids, and I just have to say this, if kids are behind, they're supposed to be reading at a sixth grade level or at a third grade level, that's very frustrating. All right?
Oh,
and that's a social emotional learning thing that's going to stay with you unless you take care of it. Okay? And it also, the other kids, okay, have to understand that some kids have challenges and may be a little behind, all right? And just talk about the social-emotional learning, how important it is for that, because, Nissan, as you know, that is like that and the equity question are the two things that are really top of mind at every school district this year. Okay, so just talk about the SEL side and what you figured out from that.
Sure. You know, Larry, in our CAST guide, we have a section that was written by a very articulate 13-year-old boy who has difficulties reading, dyslexia, print disability, is not able to read. So this is how he described his second grade, if I may quote him. Second grade was the year I realized I was really different and felt it even more. I remember when we would have projects of reading a book, then tell the teacher what happened. I remember flipping through the pages and telling the story from the pictures and not the words. The words moved around for me and just did not make sense. I knew I was good at something, like building Legos, but my reading and writing were horrible. In the classroom, it felt like I was trapped, like no matter what I tried, I couldn't get it right. It felt terrible. I felt like my stomach was being eaten from the inside out, like I was dropped from a 10-story building and survived and just had to keep on going. I would miss recess.
A 13-year-old kid wrote this? A
13-year-old kid, and we got that article in the CAST guide. Then he continues, Larry, if I may, teachers always seems to get frustrated with me and would tell me to pay attention, try again, try harder. You can do it. I didn't understand any of the books anymore in reading, science, social studies. Felt like I was dumb. I had to open the book and stare at the words. None of it made sense to me. I started to hate going to school, and I remember my mother practically dragging me to the bus. By the end of elementary school, it reaches a point where I would even get on that I wouldn't even get on the bus anymore. My mom had to drive me to school. Going to school felt like I was suffocating, an arrow to my lungs. I couldn't breathe. I didn't understand why other kids would open their books and read, and I had no idea what these letters meant. I didn't think I could learn. I felt stupid and hated even the idea of schools. So, Larry, there's one other thing I want to highlight. So in my conversation in putting this CAS guide together along with my team, we interviewed parent advocate from Wisconsin Family Ties, which is an advocacy group for families with students with mental health. Mm-hmm. And this is what she told us, basically. There she is. In my role with Wisconsin Family Ties, I have supported numerous families and youth across grade level. Then she says, what strikes me at the middle and high school level is the number of these students who exhibit behaviors, poor attendance, frustration with school, anger. On close examination, we find learners who struggle with print. For several of them, when we have been able to remove the barrier, provide them with text-to-speech, outcome improve. Unfortunately, for many, they have reached a point where they don't believe in their own abilities because they have struggled for so long feeling something is wrong with them. And actually, what we were impressed with her statement that basically says providing access, that is providing text-to-speech on applications that are mostly free, is easier than restoring the mental health that is being developed. So the obviously the social-emotional learning is so critical.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of our Wisconsin directors of the SEL also wrote a section on the CAS guide, and she basically considers that any fourth grade, fifth grade students who develop this gap and feel stupid and frustrated is not on a track to success. And we know that social-emotional skills enable learners to understand and manage their feeling, engage in healthy relationships. And when you ask this fourth grader to participate in a group effort and everybody realizes and he knows that they see his inability to read, that the fear is that in his mind it's going to be reflected as I'm not able to learn, which is not the same, but in his mind, and that's where effort on his part stopped to move forward in school, and that's where we have frustration, anger, and sometimes bullying. So many of the parent advocates that we interviewed for this guide tell us that many kids told them it is easier for me to appear bully in the classroom than to appear stupid because I cannot read.
Jeez.
So many discipline issues could be eliminated by providing access to students who otherwise would have no access, no matter how hard the teachers work in reading.
It's just amazing. And it's so sad, and that's heart wrenching stuff. I got to tell you, it's just amazing. You know, one thing I always enjoy, I don't enjoy talking about it, but it's of interest to me, is kids who are hard of hearing. And I did want to ask you this: you talked about all those things, but for a kid that's hard of hearing and reading and understanding words, the lexicon can be hard if you're hard of hearing. All right, and how are they? Have the CAS standards, the CAS guidebook, is it helping hard of hearing kids too? deaf kids.
Thank
whatever.
You for bringing this up. Again, is one of my strongest passions. So Larry, putting together the guide, we come across one group of students that doesn't benefit from text-to-speech. And these are deaf and hard-of-hearing students whose native language is ASL, American Sign Language.
That's right.
So we did a lot of contact with different organizations around the country, and it's very unanimous. They all say Congress, through IDA 2004, through the U.S. Office of Special Ed Program, OSEP, provided support, as we mentioned before, those four audio, text-to-speech, Braille, large funds, that helped a lot of students. But ASL students, American Sign Language, it did not. So we tried to figure out, and we published on the CAS guide on page 129, a video where we have shown that by synchronizing both text-to-speech and underneath is a picture of an interpreter reading the same paragraph, will provide all students with deaf and hearing, those who are ASL native that rely on the sign, and at the same time, some of the hard-of-hearing students who can lip-read or have hearing devices could listen to the text-to-speech. So we have approached OSEP, and we are in the process of encouraging OSEP together with several other organizations for deaf and hard of hearing around the country. We're trying to encourage OSEP to fund additional efforts to create similar tools. Now, to date, when we check with OSEP, Larry, with the United States Office of Special Ed Program, we found that they have funded something called ASL Pop-Up, which are sign language on a number of videos. And we explained to OSEP that this is great, but it's not enough, because none of that effort is to allow ASL student access to printed material that other students have. And that's where the equity issue comes in. Students that are deaf and hearing with ASL still today do not have that access to print material that that students who are blind have access with Braille. So this is work in progress, and I would be delighted to keep you abreast of the progress we're making with the federal government in creating maybe a new tool that would allow equity to deaf and hard of hearing students who use ASL as a native language.
Yeah, and that's a great thing. And I want to offer to you, Nissan, and this is really good stuff. We publish a magazine called Equity and Access that goes to pre-K-12 educators, and we have our websites. Would you be interested in writing some of this up, doing an article for us on all this? Good stuff.
I would be delighted, Larry.
Well, I will be delighted to introduce you to Maya, our editor, and I'm going to do that after the show is done, because this is – we can cover so much in the next 5 minutes or so as we wind down here. But to get into a little more detail, I'd like to get something on the websites and perhaps in the magazine. So I'm going to connect you guys, because I think this is really, really, really important. I was going to say a few minutes ago, and this is key. People think that deaf people – okay, just because they're deaf, they can read very easily. But a lot of what is interpreted through reading is because we have heard about it. I don't mean that to sound as stupid as it is, but there are things that are very hard to explain to a deaf person, even though they can read the word.
Yeah.
All right. And, we can spell it out and say the word, but it's hard to get the concepts across sometimes.
Right.
A classic word being like democracy. What is the whole essence of that? And we have to make sure that this is explained to them. I just have to say this because it's a pet peeve of mine. In a language that they understand. And the language that many of them understand best is ASL. Okay, and that's a key thing. And people forget that's a language in and of itself, just like Spanish or Latin or Norwegian.
Yeah.
It's a language. Yeah.
Of course it is. Yeah. Exactly. It is a unique language as well as the other languages. And Larry, in the public school system, we have so many research findings over the last 20 years that number one issue of deaf and hard of hearing students in the classroom is reading. So these students, even though they can see the printed page, they cannot read. There is a processing issue that's similar to some of the students with autism or other health impairments who simply develop a gap. You know, Larry, from grades kindergarten to three is the time that all curriculum around the country uses to learn to read. From grades four on, it's reverse. It's now assuming everybody can read, so it's reading to learn. But students with disability have this gap. So when fourth grade comes and everybody is expected to read, that's where some of those issues emerge for them.
And the kids fall behind. And again, it becomes an equity issue. It's that simple.
Right.
This is all just incredible stuff, Nisan. And I'm going to get back in touch with you a little bit later today. We're going to set something up with getting some written things out there. We got to go in the meantime. All right. I want you to take care and good luck to the Packers this year. I am an Aaron Rodgers fan. I want you to know that.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Larry.
My friend, it's great to have you here. Okay, and it's getting to be winter. I live in Maine. You live in Green Bay, so we're going to go through the horrors of a typical northern winter. Coming soon. All right? Thanks, Nisan. You take care.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. It was great. Nisan Bar-Lev, Director of Special Education at Wisconsin ESA, CESA 7. That's that region up by Green Bay. Okay, this is good stuff. We'll get it all. For you, I'll put those websites over on the description of the show, which is over at ace-ed.org. Okay, we archive everything under there, under the podcast link. The magazine's over there, Equity and Access. And, of course, we're hot on special on the social emotional learning these days with seltoday.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio.